Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement for our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Angela Sadler, your worship leader for this morning, and our pianist is Melissa Ogden. Please remain standing for the call to worship. Congregation responds in the bold. When they had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'"
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
After bringing the colt to Jesus and throwing their cloaks on its back, the disciples set Jesus upon it. As he rode along, people spread their cloaks upon the road.
Stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Open the gates of righteousness, O God, that we may enter through them. The Lord is God, and God has given us light as a lamp to our feet.
Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Bind the festival procession with palm branches. Enter the gates of righteousness with shouts of thanksgiving.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, and glory to God in the highest heaven.
Hearing the crowd's shouts of praise, some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
Let us pray. Foundation of our faith, your son humbled himself on the back of a colt, and then he entered Jerusalem in lowly estate to bring joy to the hearts of children. Forsaking his place at your side, Jesus emptied himself of prestige and power to become a servant of all. On this day of joy and remembrance, sing in our hearts once more, that we too may dance with the children, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 3176, "Come Now is the Time to Worship."
Amen. 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 We are here to worship this morning, are we not? We are here to worship the Lord. This is children's time. Anybody want to come up? Young people time. Palm Sunday, what do you think about that? Anything? We had a big Sunday last Sunday, didn't we? We had a big Sunday. But today is Palm Sunday. Somebody asked me this morning, what do we do with these when they're all done if we don't use them up? What do you think we do with them? Anybody know? What do you do with these? Just pitch them out? Yes. Well, you could decorate. You could take them home and decorate, couldn't you? But eventually, they kind of shrivel up and they turn brown and they curl up and they look pretty dead. And what we do is those all get burned. And then when we have Ash Wednesday next year, those are the ashes that we use for our foreheads when we do Ash Wednesday next year. So remember that next year when we do our Ash Wednesday service. Remember that those ashes are the remains of these palms for Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a day to rejoice, isn't it? It's kind of hard to rejoice. I think Dee was the one I saw posted something about, you know, how we have conflicting emotions about Palm Sunday because we know that it was a joy-filled event. Jesus humbly came in on this colt, and everyone was, can you even imagine? You saw the beautiful display. The choir came in waving their palm branches. It was, to me, like a big parade. You know when you go to a parade and they're throwing out candy and everybody's clapping and cheering and smiling and kids are on their parents' shoulders so they can see. And I imagine that day was much like that, where there were children trying to see Jesus, and I think the streets were crowded, and people were taking off their outer cloaks and laying them down in honor of Jesus so that the colt didn't, you know, was much like a bride. A lot of times a bride will have what they call a runner coming down the middle aisle, so their feet are only on this white runner. And this was so Jesus, the colt, it was in honor of him that the colt wouldn't touch the bare ground, that it would lay its feet on the palm branches. They whatever they had, I believe, they laid it down so that Jesus' colt could walk over top of it. And the crowd was excited, I think. Do you think that when you hear that story? Do you feel the same as I? Yes. Right, right. That's right. That's right. They had to be excited. They had to be enthralled with Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and they were celebrating him at that moment. But the conflicting part for us is we know the rest of the story during the week, don't we? And we know that day was leading up to a much more horrific time for Jesus in his life. A lot of conflicting things. Think about all these people that were his friends that were following him. It's really hard when your friends turn their back on you, isn't it? And I kind of think a lot of them did. They were all right there with him one day, and then just a couple days later, many of them were crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." How can people change so quickly their thought process? Are we going with the crowd? And because this group hollered, "Crucify him," we're going to do that too? I don't know. What do you think? Well, that's true. People change their mind because they don't want to get in trouble with the authorities, she said, which is true. So they're kind of going with the flow, right? They're going with the crowd because they don't want to get in trouble. Yep. There might have been a multitude of reasons why those things happened. But we know ultimately that Jesus knew his walk was leading him to the cross because he knew we needed to be saved. We needed salvation. So for today, we're going to celebrate Jesus, aren't we? And then as we journey down this week, we'll take one day at a time and we'll put our hand in Jesus' hand and we'll trust him because we know how it turns out, don't we? We know how it turns out. And we know next Sunday we're going to have a whole lot more to celebrate than death. We'll have life to celebrate. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us hope and promise and a future. Even though the road was very dark and dismal, people betrayed you and turned their backs on you, people you loved. Lord, you taught us to trust in each moment when we put our hand in yours, that you will walk us through even the worst, most difficult times of our life, and you will bring us to victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Our prayer concerns have been lifted up this morning already. We are going to pray for this holy week, are we not? That starts today. I trust that many of you will be able to come out for the sunrise service next week and the breakfast following. Rush, you have everything you need. I am excited for that. I know that it's always a beautiful service and a beautiful time where lots of people are able to participate. So that's wonderful, and can't have anything better than a Easter breakfast following. So thank you for doing all of the organizing, several of you, especially Russ, putting that service together. Thank you so much for doing that. And so we're going to pray for lots of people to come into God's house to celebrate our risen Savior next Sunday morning. Two services, one at 8 and one at 10:55. All our prayer needs, many of our prayer needs on the back, as I mentioned before, and we want to continue to lift each one up in prayer. My administrative assistant in KPAC, her mother was taken by ambulance this morning to the hospital, and it sounded pretty serious, so I ask that you pray for Monica's mom this morning as she is trying to get some answers. And for others that are recuperating, others that are not able to be here, some are on spring break, some are home, some are away, but we are lifting them up in prayer. If you would bow with me at this time, let's go before the Lord, and if you'd like to kneel at the altar, know that the altar is always open. Heavenly Father, like broken vessels, we need your healing. Like those who are sleeping, we need your Spirit to quicken us. Like a city under siege, we need your protection and deliverance, God. You are the one who delivers us from evil and helps us stand in times of trial. And Lord, you make us whole again. Lord, you love us with an everlasting, unconditional love that we did nothing to earn or deserve. And yet, here you are in our midst. Here you are continuing to love us, guide us, and show us your ways. Lord, we know that about 95% of the time we just don't get it. We don't make the right decisions. We don't listen for your voice. We think we have the answer. But Lord, today I pray that you will help us to lay all of those thoughts at your feet and trust in the one who died to save us from our sins. Lord, we put our faith and our trust and our hope in you. And we imagine being one of those folks alongside the road as you entered into the city on that colt, that borrowed colt, laying our cloaks and our branches and whatever we had in our hands at your feet, honoring you and showing you how much we love you and admire you and worship you. And yet, just a few days later, in our fickle minds, Lord, so many changed their mind, going along with the crowd, listening to gossip on the street, not wanting to be of different opinion. And you went through so much for us. You gave up everything for us. Your ultimate goal in coming here to teach us how to love one another, you gave the ultimate price in showing us how to love. Lord, even thieves on the cross showing us how to forgive and love and invite and welcome spirits that are willing to ask for forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers, for knowing the intimate details of our hearts, for all of those unspoken needs here in this room and so many listening in today. Hear our prayers, Lord. Hear our prayers. Help us to be more faithful. Help us to honor you with our lives. Help us to take the steps with you this week. And we give you all of our praise, honor, and glory. As feeble as it might be at times, Lord, please know that we have but little to offer you, but we give you that today. In the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And now we'll hear a beautiful song by our choir, Hosanna, Hosanna, we sing. Thank you for that beautiful anthem, choir. That was beautiful. And I also have to say, I've been thinking it all morning. Don't we always have the most beautiful arrangements up here on the altar? I thought so. I thought so. Very, very nice. Beautiful, beautiful. Very appropriate. This morning, we are going to open up our Bibles to New Testament Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God this morning. Certainly, if you've ever been to any big ticket venue of any kind at any time, it's kind of exciting when you see maybe some big stretch limo pull up in front and some particular celebrity of some kind get out. At least you imagine they're a celebrity, because most of us don't drive a limo, right? How a person makes an entrance can communicate a great deal about their identity, about their character, and oftentimes their intentions. As powerful as it might feel to pull up in front of an event in a limo, we know Jesus proved that a far more powerful statement could be made in a very different manner over 2,000 years ago. On a Sunday morning that would come to be known as Palm Sunday, Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. He didn't make his entrance with the typical pomp and circumstance of royalty, displaying all of the trappings of worldly wealth and power. Rather, Jesus came in fulfillment of the prophecy recorded by Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus certainly didn't come into town as everyone had expected. It's not the first time we brought up that point. Certainly, Jesus does most things about the opposite way that we would imagine. When we think of the way he works even in our own lives, we have a plan and we have a agenda. We have a time frame, and then Jesus usually, most times anyway, says, "We're not doing it that way. I have a better plan for you. Jesus didn't come as the king that was expected. The people in and around Jerusalem expected this Messiah that would be the conquering king, one that was going to come in with military might, that would throw off the yoke of the Roman Empire and would usher in this earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. Jesus' triumphal entry declares that he came not as a conquering king in the way we would see it. And yet he conquered, didn't he? And yet he conquered in a mighty way, in a more powerful way. He came as the saving, humble, and caring King of Peace. First of all, Jesus came riding in on this donkey, specifically the colt that we're talking about, the foal of a donkey. If Jesus had intended to come as a conquering, politically powerful, and militarily mighty king, he would have come riding in on a stallion, perhaps, a creature reflective of the majesty. And I think we're told in Scripture that one day that's going to happen, that we're going to see him on that stallion. But for today, we're on a colt. Jesus came in a manner that reflected his mission to save and to bring peace into the hearts and minds of those who were going to be placing their faith and trust in him. He is the Savior and the King. During our confirmation classes, we talked about it, and I'm not going to play it for you today, but if you ever get a chance, go on YouTube and look up "What If Jesus Comes Back Like That?" It's an amazing song that was probably done in the 80s, but it's "What If Jesus Comes Back Like That?" Jesus may not come back looking like the picture that we see hanging on any given wall. Jesus might come back in a very different way, but he tells us to be waiting and in tune and paying attention, right? He tells us to pay attention. I'm sure, just like us, these folks had it in their mind exactly what it was going to look like when Jesus took over. They were imagining armies and just mighty power that could be surpassed by none. But Jesus knew better. He knew better what we needed than, as always, than we do ourselves. Secondly, Jesus arrived in Bethany at Bethphage on foot. Presidents and governors and monarchs and other rulers arrive in these elaborate processions, don't they? In the past and in certain ceremonial contexts today, they arrive in this ornate horse-drawn carriage, escorts, bands, and honor guards. Today, rulers and those in authority often arrive in massive motorcades with police escorts, media, official entourages. Jesus, however, arrived in Bethany and Bethphage in preparation for the triumphal entry with none of the above. Instead, he came humbly and on foot, a savior of the people walking among his people. I don't think he ever wanted anyone to think that he was so very different, even though he was, even though he let people know openly that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. He came to them as himself. He was authentic. I think that would be the big word there. He was authentic. And they knew it. They probably knew it before he uttered a word from his mouth. They could tell, they knew that he was the real deal, a savior of the people, being with them in every way, shape, and form. so that they could relate. The manner of Jesus' arrival reminds us that he's not just the God that is high and mighty on some powerful throne, but the God of the lowly as well, the needy, the oppressed, the downtrodden, the burdened, the despairing, the hurting. Some of you can relate to that this morning in your own lives. He's the God who sees all people, not just the important ones, those people that we classify as important. He loves all people and came to offer all those who would place their faith and trust in him the hope of forgiveness. Actually, the promise of forgiveness, right? He promised us forgiveness. He gave forgiveness to the thieves on the cross when they recognized that they were the problem, that they were the sinful people, that they were saturated with sin in their lives. And they wanted, this man wanted to be different. The one thief on the cross wanted to be different. He wanted what Jesus was offering. He could tell just by being in his presence, I believe. Because Jesus wasn't up there on the cross preaching, really. He had words. He had final words, didn't he? He had words that he was saying, but he wasn't preaching a sermon. He wasn't giving an altar call. They knew just by the words that he spoke and by his mannerism, by the look in his eyes. If there's one thing they portrayed perfectly correct, I think, in the Passion of the Christ, is the look in that man's eyes that could only give us a taste of what the look in Jesus' eyes would have been as they met with people on that road that he walked with his cross. The look said it all. There didn't need to be words spoken. It was the look. It was the mannerism. He is the humble king. Thirdly and finally, Jesus provided his disciples with guidance. Have you ever had the experience of having someone in authority over you kind of expect you to read their mind? They really didn't give you instruction, but they expected that you should know certain things. It's frustrating. It can be terrifying when you can't figure out how to comply with the authoritative expectation accompanied by little or no guidance. Some of you have probably even had jobs where they said someone has left and you are filling their spot and there's basically no training to prepare you for what you're going to be doing, but you have to feel your way through and do the very best you can. But Jesus instructs his followers. He provides clear, direct, and compassionate guidance for them in directing them through the preparation for what was ahead. Even for this triumphal entry and all the things that were leading up the events of this week. Jesus is not a king who came to arbitrarily dictate, unfairly punish, or harshly oppress his followers. Rather, Jesus is a king who loves and has compassion for each and every one of his people. He cares for them. He guides them through each and every step of the journey of life. He is a caring king. And we know from reading our Bibles that many of the kings that we read about in the Old Testament were not caring kings. They might have been considered very powerful kings, but they were not compassionate. They were not even fair, many of them, in some of their decisions. But Jesus comes in a different way. Jesus is King who loves with compassion for all his people, who guides them. Do you ever find your heart burdened, weary, fearful, despairing of the trials and difficulties that seem to overwhelm our world in this current age that we live in? It might amaze you to know that even in the face of constant barrage of reasons to fear and despair, the Bible tells us that we can experience lives set free from that bondage of fear and despair. Even when things look bleak, Jesus holds his hand out to us that we would trust him and put our hand in his. It sounds so wonderful, but how can that be done? Many are asking that question in their minds today. And I think the answer is found in trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And in doing that, we surrender all of our cares and burdens of our heart, knowing that he is completely and totally invested in you. You are his pride and joy. You are his ultimate goal. Can it really be that simple? Astoundingly, yes. In trusting Jesus, we surrender all of our cares and burdens, the burdens of our heart. We all have them from time to time, knowing that it's he who ultimately and eternally rules and reigns, and not us. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Trusting Jesus and following him requires more than intellectual assent. Jesus isn't seeking our simple subscription or name on a dotted line somewhere. He seeks our devotion. He seeks our faith. He seeks our dedication. And he seeks our intention to serve and honor him with our lives. The more we turn our attention and thoughts and focus and passion toward knowing and serving Jesus, the more the cares and burdens and concerns of this world are brought more into their proper focus and into their proper place. Because Jesus not only reigns in creation, but when we surrender our focus and devotion to him, he also reigns in our hearts. He reigns in our minds and in our lives. Jesus is a king like no other, because he came to save you and I. He came to humbly dwell with and among all of us, and he came to care for his people. In a world seemingly full of darkness and fear and despair, praise God for the saving, humble, and caring King Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for never giving up on us, for showing us even how to be humble, how to pay attention, for the teaching that you give to us through our daily lives every day. Thank you for being patient with us and giving us every instruction that we need Help us to put our faith and trust solely in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can have our ushers come for the offering of our gifts and tithes this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon these offerings today. May they be multiplied and used to bring honor and glory to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 279, Filled with Excitement. Our benediction this morning is responsive. On the back of a donkey,
Jesus came
with the light of his love,
Jesus came
from the power of aimlessness and sin,
Jesus
with the power of the Holy Spirit,
Jesus
go with the blessings of God's anointed. This is the day that the Lord has made. As we go forth from this place, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie as we close today. Join us now for fellowship. Have a wonderful week. I hope to see you on Thursday at the Presbyterian Church for Maundy Thursday.